Mark chapter 1 and verse number 40. We'll read from there to the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, this message and these verses as we examine them. Lord, I pray, dear God, for every person that's truly born again, that this morning would be a time of remembering, a time of rejoicing, and a time of just once again, Lord, grasping the idea of what a remarkable Savior we have. And Lord, if there were to be those that are not saved here today, and it really wouldn't be that unusual of a thing, if there's someone here without Christ, at all of us at one time were without Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I pray, Lord, that as they listen to the gospel this morning, their hearts would be touched and stirred. Lord, that, oh, if we could just see ourselves as you saw us. Lord, if we could understand, Lord, a little bit about your compassion and love and what you were willing to do for us, then this morning, the time we spend here will be well worth it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. I was on the phone this week, and some of you that have been at Blessed Hope for some time, because it will have been some time since he had been here. But I was on the phone this week with one of our missionaries, Brother Tommy Tillman. And Brother Tillman does a remarkable, remarkable work. And he has done so now for over 30 years. Brother Tillman and his wife, and now, of course, his son also, and, of course, others help him, do, I think, a ministry that is very reflective of what we read here in the scriptures. Brother Tillman goes to the country of Thailand, and he works in the leper colonies there, bringing the gospel to people that are afflicted with the horrible disease of leprosy. Now, for a few minutes here this morning, in an introduction, there's no way that I could do it or would do this. By the way, Brother Tillman, the reason I called him was this coming February, when we have our Missions Emphasis Month, he's going to be our guest on one of the Sundays in February for our Missions Emphasis Month. And I wish he was here this morning. I know that he could so much, so better, more eloquently and more knowledgeably preach the message I'm going to try to preach this morning. But I thought to myself this week, as after I got done talking to Brother Tillman, I thought, well, if we could just send a small airplane, and we could send it over to Thailand, and we could have him load up 10, 12, 15 of the folks that he ministers to in those leper colonies. I want you, can I just, since we didn't do that and can't do that, could I have you use your imagination this morning for a few minutes? And I want you to imagine that that side door opens right now, and Brother Tillman comes walking in, and behind him are the dear souls. And don't forget, folks, no matter what people look like on the outside, they still have a soul that Jesus died for. But these dear souls would come walking in behind him, and maybe each and every one at varying stages of their affliction. Maybe in some the disease hasn't advanced that much, and in others it's to the point where it's about to take their life. And he was to walk these dear folks up here on the stage behind me. And Brother Tillman would then I wish he was here so he could come to the pulpit and read Mark chapter number 1, verse 40 through 45. And he could preach the message that I'm going to preach this morning with those dear people standing right behind us. I think maybe, folks, we get a little insight into how God viewed us before we were saved, what we truly were, the condition we were truly in before salvation, and the miracle that happened when Jesus touched us. Because you see, in the Bible, leprosy is always a type of sin. Now, Brother Jerry, if these folks were on the platform, what exactly would I be looking at? Some of you here have a pretty good idea. Brother Tillman hardly ever sends a missionary letter, and we don't always post the pictures with it because of the limited space. But from time to time, I try to, on the back bulletin board, post some of the pictures of the people that he wins to Christ. And it's not so that we can satisfy some morbid curiosity. It's so that maybe we can look at someone who's afflicted with a physical disease and realize that God saw us in such a spiritual shape and yet still loved us. Now, let me just read, could I, a little bit without taking too much time and hopefully not losing you or boring you, out of my Smith's Bible Dictionary. And let me just, if I can, through these words and descriptions, help you to see what you would have seen had these folks been here. The principal morbid features of leprosy are a rising or swelling that leads to a scab or baldness and then a bright or white spot, but especially a white swelling in the skin with a change of the hair of the part from the natural black to white or yellow, or an appearance of a taint going deeper than the skin, or again, raw flesh appearing in the swelling. This was a critical sign of pollution. The tendency seems especially to have been relied on. A spot most innocent in other respects of it spread much abroad and was unclean. Then there's another man that wrote this in his book, The Life of Christ. Leprosy signifies smiting because supposed to be a direct visitation of heaven. It began with little specks on the eyelids and on the palms of the hands, and gradually spread over different parts of the body, bleaching the hair white, wherever it showed itself, crusting the affected parts with shining scales and causing swellings and sores. From the skin, it slowly ate its way through the tissues to the bones and joints and even to the marrow, rotting the whole body piecemeal. The lungs, the organs of speech and hearing, and the eyes were attacked in turn, till at last consumption or dropsy brought welcome death. The dread of the infection kept men aloof from the sufferer, and the law prescribed him as above all men unclean. The disease was hereditary to the fourth generation. That's from Leprosy in the United States, the Medical Record, February 1881. Chilling, isn't it? Some of you that have seen Brother Tillman's pictures, you're thinking of those right now. What might seem like a very small, innocent sore within just a few months, yea, a few weeks, could have spread into something very hideous. Now, let me just start out the message where we ought to start out. Before we get caught up in our morbid imaginations concerning these people, these imaginary people behind me, let's for a minute remind ourselves that leprosy in the Bible is always a picture of sin. And this is a very significant story that we find in Mark chapter 1, because the same way that Jesus healed a leper is the same way that we must be saved spiritually. Say, oh, Brother Jerry, I don't have any hair turning white or scaly scabs or open sores. You can't look into a part of my body and see raw flesh that's eating clear down to the bone. I don't have to live off somewhere outside of society. I don't have to walk around yelling unclean. Let me tell you something. Spiritually, we were, before we were saved, we were worse than the lepers. Worse than the lepers. Now, leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. Can I draw some parallels for you this morning? Let me just talk you through these, all right? First of all, we read here in Smith's Bible Dictionary that this disease is hereditary. Hereditary. And what that means, young people, is that it's passed from generation to generation. The Bible says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And just like leprosy is hereditary, let me tell you something, sin is hereditary. Now, I love this because I read this little portion, and I moved my marker, but let me see if I can find it again. But I read this little section here about leprosy in here, and you may say, "Well, Brother Jerry, what are you saying? Are you saying that my children have inherited a sin nature from me?" That's exactly what I'm telling you. So did mine. Well, wait a minute. My child is young and pure and clean and innocent. Now, listen to what this man wrote. I love this. He says this, "Some, as they look on infancy, reject with horror the thought that sin exists within." In other words, we go back to the nursery and some of the gals here, I mean, especially our teenagers, they just love it. They look forward to working in their nursery. And aren't those babies sweet? And oh, is it my turn to hold one of them? Watch this. "Some, as they look on infancy, reject with horror the thought that sin exists within that baby. But so might anyone say who looked upon the beautiful babe in the arms of a leprous mother. But time brings forth the fearsome malady. Newborn babes of leprous parents are often as pretty and as healthy in appearance as any, but by and by, its presence and workings become visible in some of the signs described in the 13th chapter of Leviticus." Folks, what that's saying is this. You may hold that newborn baby, and there may be no outward appearance of the fact that sin has been passed down, but it won't be very long, and you know what? The symptoms will show themselves. I mean, that little child will get to the point where they're old enough to toddle around and they understand the word no. When you look at them and you say no, when they're about to pick up one of your trinkets or touch something on a shelf that's off limits to them, they'll pull their hand back initially and look you right in the eye and try to decide how serious you are, and you'll say again, "No." And then they'll look you square in the eye and go ahead and reach forward. You say, "My baby, yeah, your baby, my baby, all babies." We'll reach right forward and go ahead and do that. And then they'll get their little hands smacked. And then they'll scream like, "You killed them." And they're not so much crying over the hurt. They're crying because they're mad that they didn't get to do what they wanted to do. You know what that's called? That's called a sin nature. You see, folks, yeah, I know that they're pretty. I know they're sweet. I know they're innocent. I also know this, that sin is hereditary. Sin's passed down through generation of generation. It started with Adam and Eve, and it's passed upon all men. That's why all needs to be saved. By the way, don't forget this. Sin also is contagious. There's a reason that these people are sequestered by themselves away from the population. Sin is contagious. Young people, you better remember that. Sin is contagious. You say, "Brother Jerry, but I'm saved." I know that, but there's a reason that God, in his word, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." And you may think that you can hang around somebody and that's bound by sin and committed to this idea of sinning and it not affects you, but let me share this with you. Sin is contagious. I said this often, you hang around a gossip long enough and you'll be a gossip. You hang around a critic long enough and you'll be a critic. You hang around with the party crowd long enough and you'll start partying with them. You better watch who you hang around because sin is contagious. Let me share this with you. Sin continues to spread. You know, it may show up like leprosy in a very small area, a little spot, and you may for a while think that it doesn't matter much because look, overall I'm okay. But it isn't going to be very long before that little spot turns into a bigger spot. And not only does it spread outward, but it grows deeper. Amen. Now, folks, what I'm describing to you now is our condition. We don't have the lepers up here anymore. We have every single man and woman that's without Jesus Christ, who hasn't met the Master yet, who hasn't experienced His touch yet. We're talking about me before I was saved and you before you were saved. Every single one of us, this is the symptoms that we carried with us. We had this hereditary sin nature. We had this problem of contagious sin where it's bad enough that it was affecting us, but our sin starts affecting people around us. We think we got it under control, but it just continues to spread. And it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets out of control. By the way, leprosy, just like sin, is incurable by man's power. For by grace are you saved through faith, but that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you may get into problem with sin, and sin may begin to get deep, and you may go to this society and this organization and this psychologist and think you're going to get yourself fixed. But let me tell you, no man can heal the sin problem. No man can fix the sin problem. Not another human being on earth. Listen to me. I don't go out of my way to just purposely be unkind, but I need to from time to time warn our congregation and everyone that's here. That you may trot yourself down to some building that says church on the outside of it, and you may go into a little booth, and you may confess your sins to a man, and that man may say that your sins are absolved, but let me tell you something, no man can take care of the sin problem. Just like no man can cure leprosy, no man with a few words or a few instructions or some things that they've asked you to do. Listen, five Hail Marys and counting the rosary beads isn't going to take care of the sin problem. Neither is heading into the baptistry and being dunked. You can be dunked every Sunday from here to kingdom come. But let me tell you something. That man that's dunking you can't take care of the sin problem. And that water in that baptistry doesn't take care of the sin problem. You see, there's nothing that we can do as human beings to take care of the sin problem. Brother Jerry, what do? I got this from my father's. Yes, you did. And it's contagious. It's just not messing my life up. It's messing other people's life up. Yes, it is. And it continues to spread. I think I'm gonna lick it. I think it's getting better. And then all of a sudden it comes back five times worse. I know, that's how sin works. I've gone to this person and that person. And I've talked to this person. And I've went over here. And I can't find anybody to help me. Yep, yep, yep. You're getting there. You're getting there. Hang in there. Hang in there. We all went through that. We all went through the same maze trying to find our way out. Are you listening to me? By the way, leprosy, just like sin, it's a shameful thing and a disgraceful thing. It's a thing of shame and disgrace. I mean, those lepers would have liked to attended their children's birthday party. They'd have liked to come inside the walls of Jerusalem and enjoy the Passover feast. Family reunion comes up. They'd sure like to go to something like that. But you know what? They carry with them this curse. Shameful. I mean, as they go through society, they round the bend in a road, or all of a sudden up ahead, there's a group of people, and they've got to get themselves off the road as quickly as possible, and they try to, best they can, take the clothes that they have and cover up the affected areas. Maybe on this side, the ear's missing, or part of their nose is gone, so they pull a veil across their face, and maybe their hair is bleached completely white, so they got a hood over, and as these people come near them, they cover themselves as best they can and yell, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" They watch the reaction of these people as they get horrid looks on their faces, begin to back up, and they make a wide circle around them, the whole time whispering and pointing and whispering and pointing. And let me tell you something, folks. That's the same thing sin done to me and the same thing sin does to you. You know, sin will make a disgrace out of your life. Sin will bring shame into your life. Now, young people, you better listen to me. Oh, you say sin doesn't do that to me. It's eating away at you whether you know it or not. Remember, by the way, can I just say this? Remember when sin used to be a shame? Some of you older folks remember when America hadn't lost its blush? I mean, who'd have thought, Brother Harold, who'd have thought
when you were a kid that you'd ever see a bunch of homosexuals marching down Main Street holding up signs proud of the wickedness of their life. Help us. Help us. You see. Sin is such a shame and such a disgrace. Young people, listen to me. I don't care what's going on in society. It's still a shame to move into and act like married people when you're not married. It's a shame. It's a disgustful thing. Now listen to me, folks. I'm not picking on you. I don't know who's here and who's not. I don't know what's going on in your life, but you've got to understand something. You're not going to go to Jesus till you realize that you got a problem. You're not going to go to Jesus till you realize you're afflicted with something. You're not going to go to Jesus till you realize that nobody can help you, and making excuses for your sin never gets them forgiven. You see. Not only that, the Bible says that sin is like leprosy because it separates us. I first of all want to tell you that your sin separates you from God. Separates you from God. But you know what? I've watched sin destroy families. I've watched sin destroy marriages. I've watched sins tear up communities. I've watched sin tear up churches. Just like leprosy, it separates. Causes deformities. Folks, we live in an abnormal society. That which is crooked is called straight, and that which is straight is called crooked. You see, causes deformities, and by the way, eventually, it's fatal. And just like leprosy eventually is going to kill you, sin is eventually going to kill you, for the wages of sin is death. Now, what are you talking about, Brother Jerry? Are you talking about those people that you said we could bring on the platform and stare and look at and gawk at? No, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about every single one of us. We're born into this world with a sin problem. We inherited it. By the way, that sin problem, you can try to ignore it, try to make excuses for it, but let me tell you something. Not only does it affect you, but it affects everybody around you. And it doesn't get better. It just continues to spread. It gets worse. It gets worse. You go to this man and that man. You decide you're going to turn over a new leaf. You buy this book. You read that book. You join this society. But let me tell you something. It's incurable by man's power. It will bring shame into your life. It'll bring disgrace into your life. It'll separate you from your God. It'll separate you from people you love. It causes deformities where all of a sudden you don't even know if you're thinking right anymore. You can't look at things right. Do you remember what it said about how it attacks the eyes and it attacks the ears and it attacks the senses, and all of a sudden you don't hear right, you don't see right, you don't feel right, you don't do right. Something's wrong with me. By the way, if you just ignore it, one of these days it'll send you to a devil's hell. See, Brother Jerry, what's the answer to all of this? Well, there's a bunch of people in this room that are former lepers. There's a man standing on the platform this morning. He's a former leper. What I'm telling you is not something that I read about or heard about or some story in Brother Tillman's letter. What I'm telling you is that we all were born into sin. We all start in the same place. But you know what? In Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 40, we get a formula here on how to get cured from our leprosy. Let's look for a few minutes at this subject, the healing of a leper. Say, Brother Jerry, I need help, don't I? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I'm in trouble, aren't I? Yes, you are. Brother Jerry, what do I do? You do what the rest of us done. Number one, this leopard, first of all, let's look at this. This leopard came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. Now, you've got to come. It doesn't matter if your mama got saved. You still got to get saved. You're not going to make it on mama and daddy's coattails. It doesn't matter if grandma's saved. You got to get saved. This leper finally realized that if he was going to get any help at all, he had to come to the one that could help him. The leper came to Jesus. Look at verse number 40. I love this. By the way, do you notice that every single phrase here in this verse, except the last one, ends with the word him? And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him. You say, Brother Jerry, who's that him? His name is Jesus, and he's the Son of God. He died on an old rugged cross, and he's the only one that has the power to forgive sin and cleanse sin. Amen. Now, folks, you got to come to him. If you're going to get saved, you got to come to him. This leper came pleading. Did you notice that? Beseeching him. This leper came humbly, kneeling down to him. This leper came asking, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now let me tell you something. Until you realize how bad it is and that Jesus is the only one that can fix it, you're just going to have this sin problem. You're going to have this sin problem until you realize that there's only one that can take care of it. Now, it's not just coming to Jesus. It's how you come. Are you listening to me? Too many folks that don't even think there's anything wrong with them or not much wrong with them. Somebody at some point along the line tells them, "Hey, you know what? You say a few words, you repeat this prayer after me, and you get your ticket punched to heaven. Wouldn't you like to do that?" Well, sure. Why not? Might as well. Now, that's not what I'm seeing in this verse. I'm seeing somebody that comes to the feet of Jesus and understands they've got a problem. And then they want help. And they're filthy, and they're unclean, and they're contagious, and it's spreading, and it's incurable. And they're tired of the shame, and they're tired of the disgrace, they're tired of the separation, they're tired of the deformities. They know it's going to kill them, and they come to Jesus wanting some help. And when you come to Jesus with that mindset, let me tell you something, he's going to be moved with compassion. Now, this prayer, the sinner's prayer, is not just another of a list of things that you do, hoping they all stack up and somehow create a package that opens heaven's door to you. I mean, I had to come to the point where I seen myself as a lost sinner. You've got to come to the point where you see yourself as a lost sinner. Without hope. And the only one that can help you is Jesus. So the leper came to Jesus. Number two, Jesus. Well, I got good news. Jesus responded with compassion. Isn't that good? Jesus was moved with compassion. I thank God. When I was a little boy, and I walked up the aisle of a Baptist church, and I looked up to the preacher with tears in my eyes and said, "You know what? I'm lost. And I need Jesus. I need to get saved." That Jesus Christ looked down with compassion on Jerry Ross. And by the way, if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. "Oh, Brother Jerry, but my leprosy's more advanced." Hey, it's still leprosy. I don't care, young people, if you just had a spot or two and you got saved young, or you know what, if your body's riddled with it, it's still the same thing, and it's still going to, the end's going to be the same if you don't get it fixed, you see. See, I think that sometimes our young people need to understand something here. Say, "Brother Jerry, I think sometimes young people raised in Christians' homes and sheltered from the world, and they kind of come to Jesus because they're supposed to, because mom and dad and the preacher say you're supposed to be saved. But you know what? The honest truth is they just don't really think they're all that bad. I mean, I really haven't done anything." Can I share something with you? Here's somebody at the end of their life, and they've lived a sinful life, and Jesus saves them out of their sin. He saves them from all of this sin that's in their life. And by the way, everything else that they would have ever done. You just happen to find Jesus here. And he didn't save you out of all that sin. He saved you from all that sin. Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm talking about the cleanest looking, spit-shined young person in here. If you weren't fortunate enough to get to the gospel at the time that you got to it, it's hard telling what you'd look like this morning or where you'd be this morning. Go around the mall looking at these kids and looking down your nose at them and laughing at them. Let me tell you something. If you were born in the homes they were born in, maybe you'd be the same way. You ought to thank God that God let you find the gospel early. He made you say, "Well, I'm on a bunch of sins back here." Did you hear what I said? I said this man over here, he got saved out of his sin and from all that was ahead. You just happened to catch it on a little earlier time in the timeline, but let me tell you something. The same thing would have been waiting for you had you not got born again. Amen. Amen. It didn't take a gallon of grace for one person, a teaspoon for the other. It took all of God's grace to save every single one of us. Every bit of it to save every single one of us. Amen. You see, I'm so glad that I can tell the children in this room that if you'll walk down an aisle this morning, if you're not saved, you'll walk down an aisle and come up here. Jesus will meet you with compassion. Hey, teenager, maybe you came in here and you didn't even know why you rode the bus today. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? What I'm talking about this morning is true in your life. And you know it's true. You can laugh and try to pass it off, but you know that sin has got a foothold in your life and it's eating you and your family up. It's destroying your life. Hey, I got good news for you. Just why don't you step from your seat, come down an aisle, and you know what? You'll meet a Savior who will have compassion on you. I love this. Jesus was moved with compassion. He put forth his hand and touched him. Touched him. You know what, Brother Tillman? I read one of his letters one time, and he may have said this when I heard him preach once. He said, you know, the only way that you can gain the trust of those lepers is sit down beside them and put your arm around them. And we're going to have in February a man come and stand on his pulpit that's done that many, many, many times. And Jesus, do you love me? And he didn't say, yeah, I'm way up here in heaven. Now stay back a little. Yeah, I love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came down to earth, was born in the same flesh that we have to live in, yet without sin. And he walked amongst us. And you know what he did? He found people like this and he touched them. He touched them. And I love this. He says, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. By the way, can I just say this? When Jesus said, I will be thou clean, there's nothing in the world that's going to prevent it, and there's nothing in the world that's going to reverse it. Amen. Brother, the day that Jesus looked down at little Jerry Ross, who was an old rotten sinner, I mean, I didn't have, maybe I wasn't covered head to toe with leprosy, but I guarantee you the beginning stages were there. And that's what was ahead of me. And when Jesus said from the portals of heaven, I will be thou clean, I dare any of you to reverse it. I dare the devils of hell to reverse it. When Jesus says, I will, let me tell you something, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Isn't this good? Can I share this with you too? The healing was immediate. The healing was as immediate. Verse 42, and as soon as they had spoken, immediately the leprosy, immediately, you ought to underline that, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Isn't that great? Oh, I tell you what, you know what God's looking for? He's looking for old lepers. He's looking for guys that and gals and young ladies and young men that understand they got a sin problem and are broken over it and tired of it, and they want somebody to help them. They want somebody to cleanse them. They want somebody to forgive them. And all they got to do is just find their way to Jesus and fall down and say, I want to be healed. I want to be clean. I want to be saved. He reaches out and he touches them and he says, I will be thou clean. And immediately he was healed. Can I just say something? We've got a few minutes. Look up here. Watch this. Don't miss this part. Sometimes we finish right there and we fail to get into verse 43 through 45. So you want to look at it, Christians? You want to look at it? And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. Isn't this interesting? What's Jesus telling him? Well, let's look in verse 44. And saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Can I give you this thought? The healing was to be verified. Now, all of you look up here. We need to just go ahead and preach all the Bible if we're going to preach it.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? You say, Brother Jerry, I thought you said the healing was immediate. It was. Well, then he was healed. Yes, he was. And by the way, verse 45 says this. But, in other words, Jesus told him this, but he did something else. Now, wait a minute. I've heard preachers almost get up and glorify this. This isn't anything to be glorified. Jesus tells you to do something, you better go do it. And notice what happened here. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now look right up here, and I'm preaching Bible this morning. I think I'm preaching Bible, aren't I? You have it open? Am I making up any of these verses? Now listen to me. Every time I get away from the pulpit, they get after me in the tape room because I usually forget to turn this on. Now listen to me. The healing was to be verified, Brother Jack. I'm healed! Jesus said, that's great. I'm glad you're excited. Now you go do what Leviticus says to do. You go do what Leviticus chapter 14 says to do. You go do what the Bible says to do. Well, what's that? You go show yourself the priest. And we don't have time this morning, but just read it. You go through that chapter, and there was a proving time. Listen to me. There was a proving time. I mean, anybody can walk up and say, I'm clean. I don't have leprosy anymore, Brother Tom. I'm clean. I don't have leprosy. Good. Go show yourself the priest. I think it's interesting that first thing Jesus did was send him to the house of God. To the man of God. By the way, he was clean. The Bible says he was clean. And you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to bypass this part of it and just go out and start telling everybody he was clean. I want you to listen to me. Be patient with me here. If you want the world to believe you're clean, it's not going to be words that convinces them.
That's right. Absolutely.
If you want the church to believe you're clean, it's not words going to convince them. See, you don't know my heart and I don't know yours. I could be a charlatan. I could be up here and I could be lost as I can be and tell everybody I'm saved. Brother Jerry, come on. Well, why don't you think that's true? You say, well, because I've watched you. I inspect your fruit. I see your life. And although it's not perfect, I see the fruits of a Christian. I see the fruits of a born-again believer. I mean, when you got saved, there were some things you used to do that you don't do anymore. There's some places you used to go that you don't go anymore. There's some things you used to say. I'm not talking about that you don't mess up. I'm not talking about you don't slip up. But buddy, when you do, the Holy Spirit lets you know about it. And people see somebody that's trying. And they see somebody that's turned a different direction. Yeah, they may stumble and fall. But you know what? They ask for forgiveness. And they get on their knees. Hey, whatever happened to old-fashioned repentance? Whatever happened to old-fashioned getting right with God? Whatever happened to just living what you say you are? I'm not holding anybody in this room to a standard of sinlessness. And please don't do that to me. But good night, folks. If we're going to walk around and we're going to bear the name of Jesus Christ publicly, then the lost and the saved have a right to see it, that our lives verify what we're saying. You listen to me? Brother Jerry, I ride a bus in here. Good, good. Man alive. We're glad. Cost this church a heap of money. Every month I get the financial report, look down there, what we put out in gas, and I just about want to faint. But you know what? I'm glad. It's worth every dime. I mean, we'll keep the buses running. We love you. The reason we do it is we're trying to get you here like this morning so you can hear a gospel message. We want you to be saved. But let me tell you something. If somebody along the line convinced you that all you've got to do is say a few words to Jesus and you're saved, and there wasn't any change of heart, and there wasn't any conviction of sin, and there wasn't a repentance, a turning, let me tell you something. You need to be truly saved.
Amen.
You need to be saved. There was a verification process. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 2 through 20. Read it this week. By the way, it involved a lot of things. It involved some blood sacrifices. Isn't that interesting? It involved a little time period. 7 days they couldn't enter into their tent. They couldn't even go hide. They were public for 7 days. They were under inspection for 7 days. Then some more blood sacrifice. By the way, this is kind of strange. But they would take the blood. They had another blood sacrifice into 7 days. I thought this was humorous. Some of you will too. They took the blood from that sacrifice and they put it on his right earlobe, on his right thumb,
and on his right big toe. I'd still be outside the camp. I don't have a right big toe. Yeah. But that's what they did. By the way, after that, you know what they did? They took some oil. Isn't this good? And all these things, for those of you who've been saved a while, you understand these things. They make sense. For you that are novices or you've just been saved, I don't expect you to understand everything, but I'm going to tell you something. The blood affects what you listen to. Blood affects what you reach for, what you do with your hands. The blood affects where you go. Where that big toe points. I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean. I'm going to go tell everybody I'm clean. By the way, this is what Jesus said. I'm not saying don't tell folks you're saved. I'm just telling you they're going to believe it after they see it, not until. Jesus said this. He said, "See that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Show thyself." I think sometimes before we decide we're going to go tell everybody we're saved, maybe we ought to just live it in front of them for a while so that when we do speak up and tell them about it, they might actually believe it. It's good. It was verified. Then the oil was put on the right earlobe. You know why? Because all of a sudden, what I listen to is now controlled by who? Holy Spirit of God, because that's what the oil represents. And what I reach out and get involved in is controlled by what the Holy Spirit directs me. And where I go, all of a sudden, it's not my life anymore. It's not my life anymore. The touching of the head, the touching of the hands, the touching of the feet, it's all a picture. You know what? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. I don't want you that are new Christians to be discouraged by this message. Brother Jerry, I'm trying hard to grow in the Lord, and I'm trying hard to overcome some things, and I don't always do right. I understand that. Can I join my testimony with your testimony and say, you know what? I have some days that are a lot better than others. But I'll tell you what, the whole direction of my life changed when I met Jesus. And when I used to mess up and it didn't matter, all of a sudden it does matter. It matters. You know what? I don't think saved people can just continue on in sin. Not feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God upon their life. You see, it was verified. Brother Jerry, I'm in trouble. Yeah, I know. I've got something that's been passed down to me. Yep. It's not just messing me up. It's starting to mess other people. Yep, been there. We've all been there. It continues to get worse. It just keeps spreading. Yep. I've tried this, that, this person, this. I know. Man can't help you, can they? Starting to bring shame into my life. I know. Starting to disgrace me. I know. I can't find God. It's because you're separated. It's affecting my relationships. I know. It's causing deformities. I know. It's going to kill me. I know. Let me tell you something. There's a Savior. And He's coming to you this morning. And He's saying, you know what? If you'll just come to me and tell me all those things, and you tell me that you're tired of it, you tell me you don't want to walk this path anymore, you're tired of being afflicted with this disease. Oh, Jesus, listen, if thou canst, thou could make me clean. And you know what you'll see? You'll see compassion. You'll see a hand reach for you. You'll hear words that say, I will be thou clean. I will be thy clean. And you know what? This morning, you can walk in here on your way to a devil's hell, and you can leave here a born-again child of God. Woo! Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my King. Aren't you glad you've been saved? Those of you that may not be saved, hey, wouldn't this be a great day to be saved? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Listen very carefully. Service isn't over yet. It will be in just a few moments. But for some in this auditorium, this could be the most important few days of your entire life or a few moments of your entire life. There's a Savior. He's passing by this morning. You need to get there. You need to get to Him. You need to get right there to him. Brother Jerry, I've got a terrible problem in my life. It's a sin problem, I know. Let me introduce you to Jesus this morning. Can I introduce you to somebody that loves you? Somebody just didn't say it from afar, but came down and proved it by shedding his blood on an old rugged cross. But Jerry, I'm tired of what sin's doing to my life. I know that. Bless your heart, I know it. I want it to be different, I know. But I can't help you. But Jesus can. Oh, we can take a Bible and show you. But when it boils right down to it, the only one that can help you is Jesus. Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We say, Brother Jerry, I came in here this morning and God spoke to my heart and I'm not saved. My life's a mess and I'm not saved. I'm like that old leper. Oh, I don't have leprosy, but sin's destroying my life. I need Jesus. Would you slip your hand up? I won't call you. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you, but I want to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up and say, that's me, Brother Jerry. Would you pray for me? That's me. I'm willing to admit it. That's me. Would you slip your hand up? That's me. I'm willing to admit it. I just need to be saved. Sin's making a mess of my life. Anybody? How many of you are sitting there this morning, you say, Brother Jerry, thank God there was a day when this old sinful leper came to Jesus. Brother Jerry, you're right. I don't always pull it off, and I'm certainly not perfect, but God has changed the direction of my life. How many say, Brother Jerry, I'm thinking about that day, and I'm thankful for that day. I know I've been saved, and I'm rejoicing this morning that I found Jesus. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd minister to the heart of each one here. Lord, I thank you that you loved us when we were very, very unlovely. You died for us. Lord, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. If there be that one here this morning, Lord, under the sound of my voice that needs to be saved, I pray that you'd give them the courage and boldness this morning just to walk an aisle. There's men here waiting at the front to get somebody to take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Jesus awaits. Jesus awaits. Jesus is passing by. Lord, sin has had its way long enough. Lord, I pray that that dear soul would get to Jesus this morning. Settle this once and for all. Become a child of God. Hear those wonderful words, I will be thou clean. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.